in the knowledge of your Son Jesus. Let our eyes behold Him as He sees us in Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Encounters with the God kind. We just want to say a couple of things about God. Encounters with the God kind. Now, James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Pay attention. Right? James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Now, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, he's not particular about what you're asking for, as he is particular about who you are talking to. He says, let him ask of God, who gives to how many? Come and talk to me. He gives to how many? Why are you acting strange this morning? Huh? You're acting carnal? Who gives unto who? Someone say all. What is all? H-A-double-L? A-double-L. He gives unto all liberally and does not upbraid. Now, two things he wants you to see. He uses three words. He says he gives, all right? But, you know, I can give you something with a condition. For example, when I pay my staff in my office, in my company, when I pay them, it gave me the salary, but I gave them because of what they did. All right? But he says he gives unto all men liberally. So it's liberally. The word liberal, we saw it, is the word haplos in the Greek. H-A-P-L-O-S. Which was from the word H-A-P-L-O-U-S. Haplos means single-mindedness. Who gives unto all men liberally. Now, let's see where that word liberal was used. The word haplos. Matthew chapter 6 verse 22. Jesus says, let the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single. Someone say single. That's the word haplos. Single. Single. Same word in Luke 11:34. Luke 11:34. Haplos. Single. Luke 11:34. Same word. Let thy eye be single. That is, who gives to all men singly. That is, he's a one-minded person. He gives unto all men liberally. And what else doesn't he do? Huh? What else doesn't he do? He does not upbraid. You know, God cannot do everything. He can't do anything. He says he cannot upbraid. Now, we check that word upbraid is the word onedizo. O-N-E-I-D-I-Z-O. We checked that before. It means that he does not find fault. Hallelujah. Now, hold on, guys. He says, he gives unto all men single-mindedly. And he doesn't find fault. Hallelujah. Have you seen some prophecies about Nigeria and about the church? And people are always telling us, the church needs help. You know, it doesn't find fault. So, James is saying, when you approach him, approach him as the one who gives and doesn't find fault. I was somewhere last week preaching, praise God. And we went there 3 hours by road, 3 hours back, and I preached 3 hours there. And I went 2 days. And I said something. I said, how would you say, die in the name of Jesus? They all looked at me because I know they're used to people praying like that. There were a lot of Africans in the church. You know, things like die is not far from our vocabulary. So I said, do you know what the name of Jesus means? Jesus means he will save. How is it? Die in the name of the one who will save. And they all looked at me like, I said, but that's not what the name of Jesus means. It means he will save. You know, we are used to thinking God's like someone who has temperament issues, is choleric, sanguine, melancholy, what else you have? Sandine, a Christian telling you, I am melancholy, born again. Or I'm chlorine, born again, an excuse to walk in the flesh. That's why I don't take nonsense. You know? I don't take nonsense. You know, I'm sanguine. You didn't say I'm a Christian, I'm sanguine. I don't take nonsense from anybody. He says, he gives unto all men liberally. He does not find fault. Praise God. He never finds fault. So James is clearing our thoughts and our minds about God. He doesn't find fault. And we say, did Jesus find fault? Now, do not forget that the context, go back to James, the context with James was speaking here, the context was about temptation. And he's telling you that if you fall into temptation, or better still, if you come against temptation, James 1, verse 3 and 2, it says, you count it all joy. If you fall into temptation, if you say, count it all joy. So, he says, look, temptation will come to you. Count it all joy. He said, where does it come from? James 1:13. Let no man say, when he is tempted, God is trying to find out whether I am faithful. Hallelujah. God is trying, you know, you set examinations for your students. We do it in our ministry school, a leadership school. You do tests to find out whether people know what you taught them. You do that because you are human. God doesn't do that for anybody. Because everything he's trying to, you say he's trying to test, he already put there. Hallelujah. He already put there. He gave you all that you need in life. All things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 and 5. So, he's not testing you. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot, James 1:13, be tempted with evil, neither tempt ye any man. So, within that context, pay attention here. James is saying, he doesn't find fault. Look at that word, only diesel, quickly. We checked it before. Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when men revile you, okay, that means when they insult you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Find fault. Matthew 27:44. Did it to Jesus. Matthew 27:44. Same thing. Matthew 27:44. They cast the same in his teeth. In other words, they were making fun of him. Mark 15:22, Luke 6:22. Every time you read, I get that again. Mark 15:22, Luke 6:22. Every time you find that word, onedizo, is used against the Christian or against Christ. To insult, to speak against, right? Or to look for a fault. In Romans 15:3, are you in church? Are you in church? Romans 15:3. He says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Reproach. 1 Peter 4:14. 1 Peter 4:14. Hallelujah. What about that? You know, he says, God does not find reproaches. He doesn't say, well, I checked your life last week and I found out that something is wrong with you. No, God doesn't do that. And many people don't know. I remember, I think it was 1996 or 5, I was in a meeting, an all night. These days I'm very careful of attending all night because it's all night. You know, because you don't know who's going to be before you all night. And after you all night, you have nowhere to go. You get it? And so, this fellow was preaching before me, and he was ministering good. When I say ministering good, it was laying hands on the sick. not the preaching. Why are you laughing? I just said the truth. So he now got to a point, he said, hey, you sister. He said, the Lord speaking to me that you did so, so, and so. He was talking about our sin. Before you got saved, I jumped up on my feet. I said, keep quiet. Not true. Spirit of God can't say that. He said, their sins and iniquities I remember no more. That's not the Spirit of God. The man was, he was shocked. And I went back to my seat and he left the sister alone. Hallelujah. How do I know that? Because that's what God's word says. He doesn't find fault. He doesn't look for, he doesn't insult. Pay attention. 1 Peter 4:14. Are you in church? If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of Christ and of God rest upon you. Same thing. You reproach, that is to insult. Jesus doesn't reproach. Oh, he doesn't find reproach. He doesn't look for fault. Right? In Matthew 11:20, you see this. I just said to go over this again. Matthew 11:20. Then began he to upbraid the cities. The same word only these are. Wherein most of those mighty works were done because they repented not. Now, those words, when it says upbraid, you know, we just read now, who upbraids not. So how come Jesus upbraids? Now, those were the commentaries of Matthew. Doesn't make it right. Those were the commentaries of Matthew. And as we're going to see, pay attention. He says he upbraided the city, just like he cried over Jerusalem. All right. In Mark 16:14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Mark 16:14. Now, let's find out whether he upbraided them. Let's find out that's what he did. Did he look for fault? No, he didn't. Did he correct them? Yes, he did. Because look at the things he did afterwards. Whatever, what he did afterwards couldn't have been finding fault. See, Mark 16. After he upbraided them, look at, let's take 15 together. And he said, oh, come on everybody, 15, let's go. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. How can that be fault finding? Hallelujah. He just sent them to go represent him. Are you still out there? Did he correct them? Did he correct them? Was he looking for fault? No. Was he insulting them? No, he didn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who upbraids not? Who upbraids not? When we approach God in prayer, he says, you approach the one who does not find fault. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Praise God. Luke 24. Now, he found his own disciples in 25. He said to them, oh fools! I like to always turn like this when I read this verse. And I always don't allow the audience to read this verse. You get that point? I like to turn like this because I'm just respecting you. Because if I turn to you and say, oh, fools. But if I say, you read it, then I have to turn my back. Or something like that. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And then, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what did he do? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, did these guys feel bad after this? I'm asking you. No, they didn't. Because they said in verse 32, did not our hearts burn, praise God, within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us what? The scriptures. He opened the scriptures to us. And, you know, much later, pay attention, He showed himself consistently to them. Same set of people. And then he told them in verse 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But you tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. So he corrects them, alright, and what does he do? He empowers them. He corrects them. He corrects their unbelief. Doesn't leave them that way. Did you see that? In spite of their unbelief, he still dealt with them. Did you observe it? Did you observe it? Come on, guys. Did you observe it? Come on, respond. Did you observe it? That in spite of their unbelief, he corrected them. He didn't tell them, go and find out. Go and find out for yourself. Go and know God for yourself. You this, I've been with you 3.5 years. You this God-forsaking disciple. Who is God now? God-forsaken disciples. He didn't do that. In Mark 16:15, he sent them to preach. In Matthew 28:18-20, even after they had not believed he was risen from the dead, he showed himself to them and he said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. In John 20:23, he said, whatever sins you remit are remitted unto them, whatever sins that you retain are retained unto them. John 20:23. In other words, he corrects them not by finding fault, he corrects them by teaching faith. And it brings them into the light of the knowledge of his word. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So, write this down. God does not disqualify anyone, including those who hate him. He doesn't do it. Pay attention now. He doesn't disqualify anyone, including those who hate him. I mean those who really hate him. Some guys really hate him. They don't know him, but they hate him. How do you hate someone you don't know? Praise God. You know, I met someone one time and I said to him, I said, you know, you said you don't believe in God. He said, yeah, because he said, because this was what he was taught in the school, Sunday school and church. I said, you'll be surprised that the God you're talking about is not the God of the Bible. Now what do you mean? What do you mean? How can he kill children the way he killed them in the Bible? And when he finished, I said, what if you found out he didn't do it? He didn't do what? He's angry. He's not even ready to believe. I said, now let me ask you a question. I said, during the civil war in Nigeria, who killed the children? He said, man, the soldiers. I said, what about the Jewish cleansing by Hitler? He said, we did it. He said, Hitler did it. I said, what if someone had told you it was God? He said, no, I know it's not God. I know it's not God. So what if someone had told it was God? I know it's not God. We know the story. I said, calm down. What if someone had told you it was God? He said, no, it was man. Oh, so you agree that a man can kill 1 million people? He said, yes. Clap for yourself. So what if I tell you too that the things you thought God did, he never did them? Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying this morning? It says, someone told you God did it. But God never told you he did it. Hallelujah. You know, God never comes and says, look at me. Do you know my power? God didn't say it. You thought he did because someone told you. Yes, it's in the Bible. But that doesn't make it true. Hallelujah. Come on, are you there? James just told us, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. Because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Praise God. I said, praise God. James just told us that. How come you don't believe James? Believe the best of God. Hallelujah. You know, really, sometimes we need to walk in love towards God. What do you think? I think sometimes we need to walk in love towards God. Because sometimes we just believe the worst about God. Hallelujah. Where were we now? Come on, get me back. Okay, so we said, God does not order temptation, right? Come on. Come on. God was testing me. He was proving me. Then he said, yes, now I know I can send you. What kind of God is that? He says, now I know. I didn't know before. Paul says, when he was an unbeliever, hear me now. Paul says, God enabled him, counted him faithful. I thought you were faithful at the end. No. 1 Timothy 1:12. He said, he counted me faithful. Then he put me in the ministry. I thought I would have been finished. Then he said, you are faithful. He said, he first of all saw me as what? Faithful. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and say, I'm faithful. You know, no, say it like, come on, say it like it. Say, I'm faithful.
I'm faithful.
You're not making a faith confession. Say, I believe I'm faithful. I trust God. I believe God. I release my faith. I'm faithful. Say, I'm faithful.
I'm faithful.
What about saying that louder?
I'm faithful.
If I said, touch your head. This is my head. This is my head. You will not miscarry. Hallelujah. See, I'm what the word says I am. Let's move forward a little bit more. Alright now, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, he says, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is not from God. Is that what he says? Huh? That is what? No? That is common, but such as is common to man. So I say common to man. Now, the Greek word here is a very important word. It's the word anthropinos. I'll spell it for you. Anthropinos. 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 It means it is from man. Hallelujah. Temptation is from where? That's what he's saying. It's from man. You find that word anthropinos, follow me now. It's in Acts 17:25. Romans 6:19. 1 Corinthians 4:3, I believe. Yep. 1 Corinthians 4:3. James 3:7. 1 Peter 2:13. I'll take it again. Acts 17:25. Romans 6:19. 1 Corinthians 4:3, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the same place, James 3:7, and 1 Peter 2:13. So, where does temptation come from? Come on now, from where? Was that what James said? James said the same thing. He said, let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man he's tempted, when he is drawn away of his own desire. Don't say, God was trying me. God doesn't try people. Hallelujah. What God does to you is to acknowledge you. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? What God does is to acknowledge you. You know what he said to Jesus? Jesus had not started his ministry, and God says to him at the very beginning. Imagine you get into school, university, and as you enter, they say, first class. You think they are scoping you. First what? First class. Wait for me first. Let me write the test. Don't worry, when we were in university, in the faculty of law, when we first got into the first year, everybody was boasting. You know, I'm making first class. I'm breaking the record. It was the first test that we had. People's confession started saying that, by the grace of God. Then they moved to, a 2-1 is not bad. After a while, let me just come out well. Watch this now. God speaks about Jesus before anyone gets to know him. Say, this is my beloved son, in whom I will be pleased at the end. Come on, talk to me. I am well pleased. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He says that before he does anything. So that's why Satan could come to him and say, if you be the Son of God, if you be the Son of God, because Satan's work is to make you doubt the word of God. And Jesus said, look, I don't have to turn stone to bread. I am what he says I am. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. You've got nothing to prove to anyone. Say, I've got nothing to prove to anyone. Come on, say it like you mean it. I've got nothing to prove to anyone. I am what the word says I am. Jesus had nothing to prove to the devil. Say, God just said, thou art my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Satan comes and says, if you be the Son of God. In other words, if God's word is true, just like Eve, as God said, Satan's work is to make you doubt the integrity of God's word. Say, I'm what the word says I am. Come on, say like you mean it. Say, I'm what the word says I am. Now, add one more to it. Say, God is pleased with me. All right, in case it's just for you, turn to your neighbor and say, God's pleased with me. So that guy, some guy's looking at you like, sure. You know, I know you. I know some of you. I know you. We what? God is pleased with me. Hallelujah. Are you still there? God said that to Jesus before Jesus did anything. Glory to God. See that? So he doesn't find fault. So there's no temptation, watch this now, that is not common to man. So temptation comes from where? He comes from man. Hebrews chapter 4. And that's why Jesus was tempted. He wasn't tempted by God to prove that he is of God. That would be a fame trick. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, is temptation divine? Is temptation divine? Temptation is of man. Hallelujah. In fact, let me say quickly. Satan might be involved in it, okay, but temptation is from man. Satan only gets involved because man is involved. You can't have temptation without a man. A man is in your thoughts. A man is in your actions. So temptation is from man. Is that clear? Is that clear? Alright, let's follow more. So go back to James 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. James 1. James now tells you, verse 16. Are you there? Okay, let's start from 13 again. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. We've studied this one before now, right? You can get the materials worth of God. But every man, it's not every man, is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, verse 14, and enticed. Verse 15. And when lust had conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished brings forth death. Let's take 16 together, everybody. 16, let's go. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Okay? Now you can turn to someone beside you. Do not err. Now make sure you don't use plural for that person. Alright, let's go. Don't say, do not err, my beloved brethren, one person. That would be too much for one single person. So come on, turn to the person, do not err. My beloved. Don't say beloved. Did I hear that? My beloved what? You know, it's so funny. My beloved brother or sister, praise God. What does it mean to err? The word to err means to be made to make an error. Plan at home. We saw that last week. Do not err. Don't err. He says, for every good gift, praise God, and every perfect gift, praise God, is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. Glory to God. In whom there is no variableness, glory to God, neither shadow of turning. So, it says, in the midst of your temptation, alright, you're having temptations and trials, James says, income from God. God's not trying to get your attention. Praise God. No, God's not trying to see whether you're faithful in prayer. No, praise God. He's the one who empowered you to pray, okay? God's not trying to... If there's a test in life, God's not the one setting it. God's the one preparing you for it. So if you fail, it's His word that failed. That beats you, right? So God's trying to see. I know God made me marry that man to know whether I will stay with him. Are you serious? That's a joke, right? I know God made me travel to that country and then I was deported because God wanted me to perform a mission. A mission. Where? Hallelujah. You know, people talk like that oftentimes when they have never been taught who they are in Christ and how to be led by the Spirit of God. So they are always led by circumstances. They sit back and begin to philosophize situations. Oh, that's why I met John. That's why John left Jane. Okay, God was trying to link Jane with Peter. Oh, I see God was doing something. They are the ones analyzing the move of God. Why not just know how He leads? Praise God. And stop making wrong conclusions. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you still there? So what about this? He says, God doesn't find fault. No, you know, you want to pray and He says, you think I'm going to hear you? He's already hearing you, but He says, you think I'm going to hear you? You think I don't know what you did last week? I'm everywhere. I'm in your shoe. You think I don't know you? I can see that you have 4 kilograms of faith. Where have you been building your faith? Your faith should have been 10 kilograms after you have been born again. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Hallelujah. James is saying we don't even need faith to talk to Him. Huh? Yeah. James said you don't need faith. Say, I want to talk to God, but I want to believe, and then I'm going to stir up my faith. You are stirring up unbelief. Hallelujah. He says, He gives unto all men without looking for fault. Praise God. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. You learning something? Hebrews chapter 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 8. Wow. On the last day, only true believers will be. That song is from Beef. When you see too many Christians, you now begin to say, On the last day, will you be. It seems like there's many people. If you are just 4, you won't sing that kind of song. Because everybody will know who you are talking to. Hebrews chapter 8, are you in church? Look at verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. I wonder how people still think that God was the one who authored the Old Testament. How can He author something that is faultless? That is faulty. Or finds fault. That has to be replaced. How can God be at the back of something that has to be replaced? He says, look, if the first had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Praise God. Then look at verse 8. And finding fault with them, praise God. Finding fault with them. Now he's quoting Jeremiah, don't forget. Finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now this is the prophet Jeremiah. By now you know how to study prophets. Okay. He said, finding fault with them. Jeremiah said that. Behold, I make a new covenant. Then verse 9 says, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt because they could not my covenant, and I regard not the Lord. Now this is Jeremiah speaking. I guess I explained this in second service more. This is Jeremiah speaking. Pay attention because the writer of Hebrews here is quoting Jeremiah 31 verse 32. Verse 31, 32 and 33 and 34. Now, you know, we said something about that. Remember last week? Remember last week? Scare. Was it Sunday? Huh? Can you remember scare? Shadow. Can you remember shadow? Come on, guys. You know what? Remember the word shadow last week? We saw that last week. So, now, watch this now. Did God make the old covenant? No. Praise God. God didn't make the old covenant. Praise God. God didn't make the old covenant. We'll see more of that maybe in the second service. But God didn't make the old covenant. He didn't make the old covenant. Jesus never authored the old covenant. God never did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God never authored the old covenant. Because Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 called Jesus the author and finisher of what? Come on now. Not our faith. Forget the word. Author and finisher of faith. Does the old covenant have faith? No, it says not of faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of what? Hebrews 12 2. Come on, look at it. Come on. The author and finisher of faith. Hebrews 12 2. Where's your Bible? Oh, come on, turn to it. Hebrews 12 2. The author and finisher of faith. Why did he say author and finisher of faith? Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Alright, look at this. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds, which is the times that went by, okay, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. So, he goes on and tells the story, pay attention, the story of faith in the Bible. You know, the funny thing is, as he got to when the law was given. Now, pay attention to this. When did Jeremiah say the old covenant began? When he led them by the hand out of Egypt. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? Come on, can you remember that? Now, look at this. Verse 27. Hebrews 11. By faith he forsook Egypt, that is Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him which is invisible. Through faith, verse 28, Hebrews 11, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that should destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, and the Egyptians, as said to do, were drowned. Did you observe the next statement is about Joshua? 40 years when they were in the wilderness, when the law was given, was not called faith. Can you see this? Can you see this? Did you observe that? Come on, did you observe that? Now, did the book of Hebrews record those 40 years? It did. It did. Those 40 years when the law was given, when they built the tabernacle and the temple, and when they created the priesthood, was not mentioned. Why? Because it's not of faith. The law is not of faith. Let me see your hand before me. Come on, let me see your hand. Wave to me, let me see your hand. The law is not of faith. He wasn't mentioned at all. Praise God. He just skipped it. Because if he had gone into mentioning that, then there would be a serious contradiction. The law is not of faith. And Jesus is the author and finisher of what? Faith. So we had people living under the old covenant, okay, in that dispensation, but their practice was a new covenant. Are you still there? Are you still there? Come on, are you still there? So who said no finding fault? Hebrews 8, go back to Hebrews 8. Praise God. Come on, is this clear to you? Is this clear to you? He stopped right at when they left the Red Sea. And the point where the law was given, Nothing was mentioned. That's not the journey of faith. Because Hebrews 4:2 says, the gospel was preached unto them as well as unto us. But it was not what? Mixed with faith. So because they didn't believe the gospel, Moses gave them what? The Old Testament. He gave them the law. Are you still there? Come on, guys, are you still there? So God wasn't giving the law to be replaced by the new covenant leader. No, God never gave the law. James just told us that God has just one personality. Is that right? Is that right? Come on, is that right? It's one single-minded person. Glory to his name. That's why Jesus kept saying, Moses told you, but now I say to you. He didn't say God told you. Hallelujah. John 1:17, the law was given by God. Is that what he says? Huh? The law was given by who? Come on, raise your voice a bit more. By who? Who's Moses? Incarnate God. No, the law was given by Moses. He says, grace and truth, or grace which is the truth, came by who? Jesus Christ. Now, who is Jesus? He's God in the flesh. So who do you believe? Come on, who do you believe? You know, sometimes in church, we have to preach the sermon, believe in Jesus. Because so many guys just say, well, I believe Jesus, but what about Moses? Are you okay? He said, I believe Jesus, what about Moses? Moses' entire destiny was clinging to Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus. I said, I believe in Jesus. The Father says to Elijah and Moses, said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. You got to hear him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I hear Jesus. Say, I hear Jesus. So he didn't give the law. He didn't give the Old Testament. Go back to Hebrews 8. Are you learning something? Go back to Hebrews 8. For finding fault with them, he says in verse 7, first of all, he says the first was, if it was faultless, that can't come from God. It's a Greek word, pay attention. Amemptos, I'll spell it for you. A-M-E-M-P-T-O-S. A-M-E-M-P-T-O-S. It means to be corrupted. It means to be wrong. So the first covenant was wrong. That's where so many people have their sermons from. But it says the first covenant was wrong. Amemptos, that can come from Christ. Christ only does perfect things. Hallelujah. Come on, guys, are you there? Christ only does perfect things. Look at verse 8. For finding fault with them, Now, it changes the word, that's the writer of Hebrews. It uses the word mem for mine, I'll spell it for you. M-E-M-P-H-O-M-A-I. M-E-M-P-H-O-M-M-A-I. It means to look for what is wrong. Romans 9:19. To look for what is wrong. Same place. Romans 9:19. Why doth he yet find fault? So, what was the function of the Old Testament? Come on, talk to me. What was the function of the law? To find what? Come on, talk to me. To find what? But what does James tell us God is? He doesn't find. Come on, are you there? Guys, are you following this? Are you following this? James says God's just one personality. He doesn't find fault. Writer of Hebrews says the Old Testament was finding what? The law. Finding fault with them. Now pay attention to this. Look at verse 10. So you see the exact opposite of the Old Testament in verse 10. This is the covenant, verse 10. Let's take verse 10 together, but let's go. Okay, no, hold on. Let me read 10. Then we take verse 12 and 13 together. Let's go. For this is the first, this is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after they say God. This is, don't forget, it's quoting Jeremiah. I will put my laws into their minds. Alright? And write them in their hearts. Praise God. Who is doing all this? God. All right. I will be to them a God, they shall be to me a people. Who's going to do this? Who's going to do this? Who is going to do this? All right, good. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all what? Know me from the least to the greatest. They won't go to call a prophet. The prophet! Who shall I marry? Marry me. So that's your little trouble. Someone asked me, he said, when do you do counseling in your church? I said, every Sunday and every Wednesday. He said, what time? During the services. That's what I'm doing now. And I mean personal counseling, we sit down and then we talk, then you pray for us and you prophesy. I said, we're not a shrine. Hallelujah. You come to church, you hear God's word, amen. You let out to be led by the Spirit of God yourself. Praise God. Hallelujah. They shall all know me, praise God, from the least of them to the greatest. So I spend my time in the services to teach so that you won't come and waste my time after. Because like my friend, Pastor Tok, says, he says, if you listen well in the services, you won't need counseling. Because oftentimes, what you go to hear in counseling is what you were told in the service you were not listening to. Maybe you were Facebooking. And you say, church things, I'm in church, in the service. You know, some people believe that a church service is too long. Too long. Sometimes I write a post on Facebook and someone says it's too long, but they know how to read about a man of God's story. They will read every detail. Say, that was not too long. It's your flesh that is the problem. Hallelujah. But you know, some people can watch a game and all that, then they come to church. Why is this service long now? But you know that they don't mind 3 hours counseling. Have you observed? But it's church service. 1 hour, they're dozing. But if it's counseling, they have a problem, they'll sit down. You tell them, sit down. Tell me the story of your life. When I was born, my mother told me I was not born normally. I came out the 15th month. The Spirit of God was telling me that as I was born, somebody gave me coconuts. That's his covenant. It's a covenant. You know, 2 hours, you're still talking to the prophet. Then he begins to say, you will have to do some fasting. Dry. No water. In fact, you must not see a woman. Because the day you see a woman, you eat the forbidden food. Even your mother, your children, don't see. You have to stay away from all of them. See, my dad told me that his own father, who was a prophet, couldn't eat food made by women. And I said, why? He said, you know, because of the power of God. He made it look so mysterious. He said, why are you asking me? Are you not a pastor? He says, because of the power of God. I said, I don't get it. He said, women have period, menstrual period. I started laughing. He said, why are you laughing? No, my dad now went serious. But I was looking at, what's wrong with you? You don't know the Bible now. He said, but it's power. I said, a woman dripping blood all over touched Jesus. He said, who touched me? Ha. Who touched me? Ha. He was looking at me like hungry. I said, what? Is it not true? And you know, they can sit with the prophet and the guy is telling them about their lives. I'm praying. Say, stop there. Check Genesis 4:4. That's about you. That's your memory verse. Pray with that scripture. 12 midnight, 3 midnight, 6 midnight. Sorry, 3 a.m. Hallelujah. So we don't have that kind of time here. When you hear the word here, it's sufficient. You go back home and study. You know how to listen to the Spirit of God yourself. They shall know me. Hallelujah. From the least to the greatest. Say, I know him. Don't say, I want to know God. I just want to know God. No, but you know him. Say, I know him. Praise God. Now, I want us to read verse 12 together. And verse 12 together. If you believe that, let's read together. Let's go. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Come on! This is the exact opposite of the law. The law says he's looking for fault. God says, I'm not looking for it. Now let me ask you a question. When was this said? Were you born? So man, that means you haven't seen before he said this. So this was not a reaction to sin. Someone say, I don't believe that. How can you say that? Jesus Christ is faithful and sins yesterday, today and forever. That is not the Bible. I said, when did he pay for sins? He said, 2,000 years ago. Did you see him there? Had you seen them? They said, no. Is that not future? You don't understand English. Hallelujah. He said, I remember no more. Someone said, no more. What is no more? You know, it's when you get to church that you forget English. What is no more? What is no more? Okay, let me add. There's an original word that is missing. No more for now. Hallelujah. Can you see the difference? He doesn't find fault. Say he doesn't find fault. So that's the God kind. He doesn't find fault. Anytime you have an encounter with God, he won't find fault. He will correct you. Praise God. But he doesn't find fault. He doesn't insult. He doesn't disqualify. So if you have anyone speaking with you. You know, I had a lady, I think it was late 94. She had a vision. And she saw a being just like Jesus. I don't know. You know, people think they see Jesus because they see Robert Powell in their dreams. You know, Robert Powell, you say, he has long hair and he's white. And then he wears all white. And he says, my son. Yeah, well, Jesus. You know, she said she saw Jesus. And then she described the vision so well. And everybody was looking at her like this. You know, I saw Jesus. They're shaking, you know. And then I was listening to what the Jesus said. That's how I know whether it's the Jesus of the Bible. By the time she uttered the things that Jesus said, and it wasn't Jesus she saw. But that kind of person, if you tell her there, she won't come to fellowship again. So she was, I said, bless you. So, you know, so I had to take 3 months to explain. Then the third month, I remember we were in a mosque. I can never forget. We were in a mosque. She said, bro, it was not Jesus I saw. I said, I knew. Jesus can't say those things you said, he said. I'm coming back soon. This time around. Whether my church is ready or not, I am coming. And he's frowning. The Bible says, he purchased us with his own blood. He cleansed us and prepared us and made us holy unto himself. How can he now say whether you are ready or not? We say you are the one that has the problem. Are you not the head of the body? Hallelujah. We are always ready. We are always ready. We became ready the day we got saved. Someone say, are you rapturable? It's not rapturable. It's bamturable. As you get born again, you are rapturable. Praise God. He gave you his spirit. And that's all that matters. See, I'm what he says I am. Okay, quickly, let's look at this. He says he doesn't find fault. So, he doesn't find fault. Praise God! Does that make you sad? He does not find fault! I said to someone, I said, God hears the prayers of Muslims. And the guy said, He's angry. Why are you angry? He said, God, your father, he hears them. Why should he? Why should he not? Then what is the benefit of us being Christians? You're angry that your dad is kind. We'll get to that in the second service. Come on, let's look at this. Alright. 2 Corinthians 3. Are you learning something? So, God doesn't find fault. So, if you have an encounter with a fault-finding being, that is not the God kind. That's not the God kind. Praise God. The lady was telling me, she said, she wanted to get married, and then one of these guys, this preacher, told her that, so what did you do before you got born again? How can you be asking what did before they got born again? Of course they sinned. What else should he have done before he got saved? To live righteously? They don't understand. Who else? Why would Jesus die for sins if we didn't sin? Does it make sense? So, what did you do before you got saved? And they say, well, I had this boyfriend and I was pregnant and then had an abortion. No, when I was a younger preacher, the man who mentored us told us, said, one of the qualifications of a pastor, he told me then, he said, whatever you hear, don't appear surprised. The first day I tried to test it, I was like, don't ever appear surprised. Don't make, say, because people will not continue talking. You know, say, I killed for people, say, you what? So, I agreed to go like this. I killed and said, praise God. I'm going, tell me something. So, the pastor said, you had one abortion? Hey! That one has blood. Say, sister, the way I'm looking at it, this marriage is somehow, that's a problem. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says your sins and iniquities I remember no more. Abortion is a sin, it's wrong. Christians shouldn't do it. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 3. Alright, now look at this. Who has verse 6 made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, praise God, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Can you say God gave a testament that kills? Are you there? But if the ministration of what? Death. Written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not serve behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance with glory was done away with. So whose face were they trying to behold? God or Moses? Come on, talk to me. Moses! How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Glory of God. Verse 9, let's take verse 9 together. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Hallelujah. So what do we have? The ministration of righteousness. What did they have? The ministration of condemnation. Glory to God. Was God in that? No. He was not in that. That's why 2 Corinthians 5. Are you there? He calls the Old Testament the ministration of death, the ministration of condemnation. Sometimes that's all they preach every Sunday. I got born again a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, some few weeks. We just received Christ. By the next week, another sermon. By the time they pump that sermon in, 14 ways to rise to the holiness of God. I got that in my heart and I began to climb. I was still on number 2. During the midweek service, 6 ways to avoid the terror of God. I stopped the 2. I went back to the 6. By the Sunday service, the dedication of life, I had to come out. So, week after week, so everybody was coming up, they were preparing sermons. The fruit of that ministry has to be, you got to cry just to make it a day. I say you cry. Cry. You know that song? You don't know it? God bless you. So, why are you laughing? You don't know MC Hammer? He's a Christian now. That's an excuse to something, right? So, the next week, Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria. But, brother, there's a bot in our lives. Something, 14 ways, 16 doors, bot. So one day I just sat on the beach. I said, God, wherever you are, what exactly do you want? Be very clear. Stop sending preachers to me every week. You know, a man should be clear. Tell me and I'll start up. But you can't tell me 14 on Sunday, 6 on Wednesday, and then dedication on Sunday. That's too much. In 1 week of salvation. That's why many of us do not even know when we got saved. Some of you cannot tell us exactly when you got saved because you have been received. You come out. Every time you commit a sin, you think it's an altar call. And it's really an altar because altar is where they slaughter animals in the Old Testament. So you come and say, you know that your life is not right with God. Then the keeper is saying, you know it deep down your heart. Even if your actions don't show it, your thoughts. If you hear the trumpet today, will you go? Then everybody's coming. Take me back there, Lord, to the place. Then when you see that the sermon is not really hot, you just include second coming. That one will get anybody. 666, rapture. Say 666. Say, do you know that they are selling some books now? They have 666. Hey. Somebody has it back in America. A boy was born, he has the Bible in his hand. Hey. Everything but God's word. You believe. It's only God's word you doubt. Somebody said he died, he rose again. Somebody died, he came back. Of course, when somebody has fasted for 30 days and is not eating well, why would you not see all sorts of things? And then you say, you believe that one. The one that died for you and rose again, you don't believe him. The one that fell sick in the hospital and then died and rose up, you believe those ones. See, I believe in Christ. Hallelujah. You know, he doesn't find fault. 2 Corinthians 5, are you learning something? 2 Corinthians 5. You know, last week, we looked at the wrath of God. That was such an encounter. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5. Come on, look at verse 18. Let's take it together. Come on, let's go. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God... Come on, I want to speak verse 19 slowly. So don't rush. Don't allow God in your rush. Take it slowly. So that it will sink. Let's take it slowly. Line up on line. Let's go. To wit that God was in Christ, the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of God. Not imputing what? Not counting their sins. So you know how to do evangelism. Go to evangelism. And you see people in a bar and they're drinking and smoking. You see? Good day, my brother. Can I have a word with you? Our parents, Adam and Eve, how can that be gospel? They ate the forbidden fruit. Are you aware? After that, forbidden fruits just increased in the earth. Do you know the fire that is in this smoke? Do you know it is air fire? You are doing test run for air fire. That's just air. Say you. Who brought that again? You brought that again. You will recognize yourself in air fire. You know, people don't know how to preach. Did you discover that all the sermons in the book of Acts, none of them mention people's sins? Not one. Not one said, you, I saw you, I can see in the car, I see you. None. Because the gospel, there's no good news in telling me I've sinned. That's not news, I already know. The news has to be God was in Christ. Hallelujah. Reconciling himself to me, and it doesn't count sin. The good news has to be the revelation of God's love towards me. Praise God. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Not imputing their trespasses. And that's how you must preach the gospel. I was telling them in a conference, I said, can you preach? In America, I said, can you preach in a gay bar? And you're not mentioning homosexuality. I mean, everybody there is gay. Not that they are pretending to be gay. It's a gay bar. I go there and say, and you mention Sodom and Gomorrah.
say, I remember Sodom, Sodom. It goes on like that. Say, because when God visits America, people are legalizing homosexuality in America. When God visits America, Sodom and Gomorrah will be like tea party. You know, some of those guys are so confused that because they try to think God does evil, when, as it were, sinners, as it were, are punished or something bad happens to sinners, they think it's God. But they now can't explain it when the same thing happens to Christians. Because they're confused. You quiet? You can't go say, well, it's because they are gay. That's why that thing happened to them. What if the ones that happen with believers there? Is because they are spiritual gays? No. Is being a gay wrong? Of course it's a sin. But does God count sins to relate with people? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. You know, sniff a dog. I was about to come into this service, but I found something. It's at that corner. Or maybe this corner. It's choir that usually has. The music team. Because Satan was the choir leader. Yeah. Have you heard that before? I used to sing, then he sang too much. Pride entered his mind, then he fell down. Singing. Too much movies. Hallelujah. So, Jesus is God. Praise God. Let's watch Jesus, the God kind. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. You learning some? God doesn't find fault. So you don't waste your time. You want to pray. You first of all confess your sins. Who asked you? Say, Father, I just want to confess. I know you know, but it's good to know again. The things I've done yesterday. My dad will say, we have all eaten sin like food. I say, why not speak for yourself? Why do you have to say we? Alright now, look at this. Hebrews 1. God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to our fathers by the prophets. Let's take verse 2 together. And in this last day, spoken to us in his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Let's take verse 3 together, everybody, let's go. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, which he had by himself purged our sins, glory, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So he is the express image of God. Matthew 17. You believe that? Now, which of the prophets can claim this? Which of them? Which of them? None. Not Moses. Not Abraham. Not Isaac. Not Jacob. Not Noah. Not all the prophets. Isaiah. None of them can claim this. The express image of his person. Who is that? Who is that? Come on now. Who is that? Who is that? So if it's not Jesus, it's not God. Come on. You believe that? If it's not Jesus, it's not God. Come on, say it like you mean. Say, if it's not Jesus. No, say it like you mean. If it's not Jesus, it's not God. If it's not Jesus, it's not God. So, who was finding fault in the Old Testament? God? Come on, God? No. So, if it's not Jesus, it's not God. Matthew 17:5. You have Elijah, and then you have Moses, I shared that earlier, which you can call the law and the prophets for now. I have a better explanation for that, but then let me leave it at that. Moses and Elijah, and then all of a sudden we don't see them again, because you shouldn't be seeing them. Hallelujah. He says, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What does he say to him? Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Turn to your neighbor and say, hear Jesus. You got to hear Jesus. You got to hear Jesus. So, if it's not Jesus, it's not God. Praise God. Look at Luke 9. If it's not Jesus, it's not God. My God, go wrong quickly. Verse 54. And when his disciples, James and John, I guess they were Africans. You know, Africans are just like that. Saw this. They said, Lord, that's quite a They didn't see. They law. Law, law. Without we command fire, Holy Ghost fire, to come down from heaven and consume. How can a Christian use the word consume human beings? Consume. You know, they didn't stop at that. They said, as Elijah did. That means they asked scripture for it. So leave that thing. So they are quoting scripture and verse. As Elijah did. Because Elijah did that. Said, if I be a man of God, maybe we're dying. Look at verse 55. But he turned and said, thou hast spoken well. He rebuked them. In other words, if Jesus was there when Elijah was speaking, he would have done what? He would have rebuked Elijah. He said, you know not the manner or what manner of spirit you are of. Come on. Look at 56. Let's look at 56 together. 56, let's go. Come on. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Say, God can only save. Say like you mean. So, God can only save. If it's not Jesus, it's not God. If it's not Jesus, it's not God. No, I didn't say it's not Jesus, it's not God. I didn't say that. Say, if it's not Jesus, it's not God. Look at Luke 5. Encounters with the God kind. Luke 5. Jesus. He meets a fellow. You know, guy's name is Peter. And then Peter is just a fisherman. And then, watch this. He entered into his sheep to teach. That's the first thing he did. In verse 3, we always forget that. That means this is a guy who's not a good guy, but he goes into his sheep to teach. Moses will have asked for blood to be shed first. Jesus just got in. And he began to teach from the boat of Peter. Look at the next thing. And then he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, verse 4, and let down your nets for a drought. He gives direction to him. Peter is not born again. He's not born of the Spirit. He's not a member of Saints Community Church. Praise God. Is that true? I don't think he is. He is for a drought. And Peter says, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And then what happens? They got a big catch. The God kind. Praise God. That's the God kind. See what Peter said? Let's take verse 8 together. Simon saw it and his fell on his knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. This guy is such a case. Did he not know you were? Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Then Jesus said to him, I knew. I always knew. But I just came to show you this so that you will know that you are. What verse is that? He says, fear not. Praise God. Come on about that. He says, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And then what did Peter do? He forsook all and followed. Jesus didn't ask him to. Love compelled him. He blessed him. Praise God. I thought Peter was doing some fasting and prayer. I'm sure Peter had done some fasting and prayer before now. Has he sown the seed? Come on, he sowed the seed. Peter has been sowing seeds before now. Prayed in tongues? No. It was just a sinner. Just a guy who wasn't doing the right thing. This is God. Praise God. Can God supply the needs of the unsaved? He will. He should. He shall. He would. He will. Give me another grammar. Come on. He might. No, Michael. He can. He could. Can. He will. He'll do it. Praise God. Look at Luke 7. Look up. First of all, look at verse 30, Luke 5:1, Luke 5:30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Then he says, they that are old need not a physician, a figure of speech, but they that are sick. I have not called to call the righteous, that's self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. See that? Luke 6, verse 5. And they're asking him, why would you heal on the Sabbath day? Why in the world you guys doing stuff on the Sabbath day? He said, the Son of Man is a Lord also of the Sabbath. Luke 6 and verse 5. I'll just skip that quickly because of our time. Look at the next one. Luke 7. There's a woman. She comes to Jesus. I'm sure today this will make headlines. She comes to Jesus. She's a known prostitute. Now, a prostitute is a prostitute. You know, prostitute is not exactly a nice word. And she comes to Jesus. And then she's at his feet. She has tears on his feet, verse 38, Luke 7. She kissed his feet. Notice feet. Verse 38, come on, feet. Don't say feet. That's important. Context. Anointed them with ointment. I thought immediately the angels would just grab a hold of her neck and say, you must be out of your spirit. You know, see what happens. Then they say, the Pharisees, you know, these Pharisees are Nigerian Christians. They said, this man, if he was a real man of God, that was a man of God. Oh, this girl, this wrong girl. That's the kind of person that this is. With Jesus. Yeah. If you were a prophet, this man is not a man of God. See, I'm telling you. If there was really fire, if anointing was around him, she wouldn't even move close. Real anointing. When the real anointing is moving, and he's moving, and you are, as you are coming like this, all your sins are just coming out. She would have known that this man that touched him was a sinner. Then Jesus, I'm sure his disciples, their minds were going, this man is messing us up, man. This is headline news, Sarah reporters. And he says, Simon, I have something to say to him. He said, Master, stay on. I mean, the way he responded, he said, you have to explain this one. He said, there are two creditors. He said, one forgave for 500 pence, the other one for 50. He said, who will love most? He said, of course, the one that, you know, you forgave most. He said, you are rightly judged. Then he told him, he said, Simon, when I came to your house, he said, this woman, ever since I came in, she didn't stop to give me water. She didn't stop to, you know, she didn't stop to kiss my feet. No, against my feet. She said, but when I came to your house, you only gave me your sick mother-in-law. What did you give me? As sins which are many are forgiven. But she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, love at little. Now that word, little is forgiven, love at little, is a figure of speech. To speak of hypocrites. Alright? And it says, your sins are forgiven. Someone say the God kind. Say the God kind. Say it again, the God kind. Say it loud, say the God kind. Did you notice that Jesus didn't call us sinner? He didn't. Luke 8:45. The woman with the issue of blood. She's got all the blood. According to the law of Moses, she can't even enter the temple. She touches Jesus. And she's whole. Moses' temple says, if you have blood, you stay away, then you are purified, then you are cleansed. See, those laws are so chauvinistic. Have you heard those laws before? They are so chauvinistic. They can't come from God. Moses equated chattel, animals, with people's wives. It can't come from God. Praise God. He says, in Christ, there is neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ. So many folks, and I tell a lot of men, I tell them oftentimes, the Bible says, wives, submit to your own husband. As the church is to Christ. Why not read that part? Why is the church submitted to Christ? Do you know why? Because he died for us. And he loved us. So the love, the submission is a response to love. The submission is not to get love. It's a response to love. So don't use that submit like an African man. The Bible says, wives submit. The husband says, husband love. The both of them are reading verses that does not concern them. Are you there? Luke 15. Jesus talked about the prodigal son. Who goes home and sees the father? Let me ask you a question. I'll talk about this in a second. What if the prodigal son, which you call the prodigal son, what if he met the elder brother first? What would have happened? As he was coming home, he meets the elder brother. Say, hello? Yes? Hello? Say yes. What do you want? So, well, I don't mind to be a servant. I know you will be a servant. What else do you want to be as a servant? Who else should be a servant if not you? But he met the Father. Hallelujah. Sometimes we present the wrong picture of God to people. He met the Father. The Father made not one single statement about his misdeed. That's the God kind. Hallelujah. I said that's the God kind. One more, look at Luke 18. Learning something? Encounters with the God kind. Luke 18. There are two folks that came to church, and one of them said in verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself. Said, God, I give you praise, I give you glory. Excellent is your name in all the earth. I'm not as others, other men. You know who I am. I'm not like and you know the man is talking about. He mentions their names. I'm not like that guy and that guy, you know. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Even as this publican. I fast twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. I give tithes of all I possess. The publican, standing far off, would not lift up as much as his eyes to heaven, and smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, O sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the other. Come on. You know, Jesus never said the Pharisee lied. He didn't say he lied. He didn't say he lied. The guy didn't lie. But the guy is not justified. God doesn't justify a righteous man. Pardon my figure of speech. He only justifies sinners. Some say the God kind. Say again the God kind. Follow this now. Luke 19. Zacchaeus was a known 419 in town. Everybody knew his business dealings. And Jesus sees Zacchaeus, Luke 19. He sees Zacchaeus and he says, hey, Zacchaeus, make haste, verse 5, and come down, for today I must abide at your house. He says, hey, master. You left prostitutes? Is that 419? What are you going to explain now? Say, I'm coming to your house. At least for the prostitute, she came to him. This one is the one going. I'm coming to your house. Have you ever felt bad? You see a preacher in the house of someone that the world doesn't like. Say, oh, that guy is a fraudster. And then you see a preacher there saying, men of God of nowadays. They are not like the real men of God when the Spirit of God was really very strong in the body of Christ. When the Spirit of God was being sung in the body of Christ, you will not see a man of God in that kind of house. I'm telling you, if some people were to see Jesus, they would do evangelism to him. Say, Jesus, you have to be holy. This one, who will die for your own sins? He went to his house to eat. And then he says to him, verse 9, for today is salvation come to your house. Hallelujah. Again, Jesus doesn't say a thing about what Zacchaeus did. Sometimes our opinions, see, we think our opinions are God's opinions. The Bible says that the wrath of man does not work
the righteousness of God. You think because of your opinion, God will change His word? No, He won't. Sometimes we think our opinions should be His opinion. He cannot change. I said He cannot change. He doesn't find fault. Tell me He doesn't find fault. Let that ring in mind. Someone. He doesn't find fault. He doesn't. Have you observed? He's not even mentioning what they said those folks did. This is well, Zach. No, you could have said, no, Zacchaeus, I know you've made some money somehow. I know. I realize that you've hit credit cards in the UK. And I know you've been terrible. You know, I know you took some, but you know what? No matter what. You know, that would have been nice too, but he doesn't even mention it. You know, he sees a woman at the well. He doesn't even say, I know you had, you've had five husbands. You know, I realize that the one you are with now, you know, you are an adulterer, fornicator. I realize that, but I love you. You know, that's still nice. But he doesn't even talk about it. He doesn't call them names. How can you tell someone that she has had five husbands and the one she is with is not her husband, and the next thing is that she goes to preach the gospel? That's love speaking. How can you tell someone, you've had five husbands, the man you're with is not your husband, and the next thing she goes, glory to God! Wow! The whole world must hear about this man. Let to some of us, they say, well, we'll preach that sermon. Keep on explaining. There's somebody here. This is what I'm doing now. There's somebody here. You've had five husbands. If I write now, as I speak, you are committing all sorts of immorality. And I can see that the clouds gathering upon your building is thick. The Lord is saying that He's warning you, last chance. You may not know whether you will see today. If I had today, you have seen today, okay, you will see tomorrow. The Lord is speaking, and verse is coming out. Come out now! If you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before God. Come out now! She's coming out. All her dignity is gone. It's good that you have come out humbly before Him. Jesus does not even mention it that way. Because He doesn't find fault. You learn something? Jesus never rebuked sinners. He only rebuked unbelief and hypocrisy. He never found fault. If you found out where Jesus rebuked people, He rebuked hypocrisy of the Pharisees and unbelief. That's the God kind. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let me ask you, can you preach the gospel to people without mentioning their sins? Can you do it? Good morning, Jesus. Good morning. Brethren, you are in this bus. I announce to you today that God loves you. That's how you are going to start. God loves you. I know your life is dirty right now. Let me tell you, hell is real. There was one sister that died in our church. She just came back. What she saw was bad, though. All the people wearing a ring and were born. They were all there. They were burning. You know, religion takes away your brain. How can a ring find itself? Okay, a ring that somebody is wearing on earth. If somebody dies, somebody else wears the ring. But you find your own in the spirit. Hallelujah. See, I'm what the world says I am. So, in looking at the God kind, it's Jesus is God. You believe that? James 1, we're closing this. Jesus is God. No, go to Matthew 5 quickly. Matthew 5. Encounters with the God kind. So, whatever you encounter, and then you find out that it's finding fault, it can't be God. Look at this. Verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That is the law of Moses. But I say unto you,
Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Let's take verse 45 together. For that you may be, you may be what? The children of your Father. Now, the word he uses here is hoios. Hoios is a word in the Greek used for sons. It means someone who reflects the Father. That you may reflect your Father. In other words, this is exactly what God does. God has never cursed before. That you may reflect your Father, which is in heaven. What does he do, church? He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Look at Luke 6. Are you of the God kind? Are you of the God kind? You see, when people met Jesus, they met God. If people meet you, can they meet God? Are you double-minded? Are you unstable in all your ways? Or are you just like your father? Say, I'm just like my father. Say, like, I'm just like my father. Say, I'm just like my father. He says he sends his rain on who? Look at Luke 6. Glory to his name. Luke 6:38 says, give. He shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, rolling over. Shall man give unto your bosoms, for the measure that you meet which shall be measured unto you. It's horrible that this is now being used for giving. This was Jesus talking about how men love. That what men do is whatever you do to them, they do to you. He was talking about judgment and justice and mercy. But this is not for the Christian. It's not about giving offering. This is about the law of sin and death. That's why it says, shall men give to your bosom. But that's not God. How does he talk about God? Come on, look at this. Let's start from 27. I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. That's not the same thing as verse 38. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Unto him that smite thee on one cheek, cover the other one. And him that takes away thy cloak, forbid to take thy coat also. Give to every man that acts of you, of him that acts of the way. Take thy goods, ask them not again. For as you should the men do to you, do also to them likewise. If you love them that love you, what thank of you? For sinners also love those that love them. Can you see? But if you do good to them that good to you, what thank of you? For sinners also do the same. If you lend to them that hope to receive, what thank of you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive much again. Let's take verse 35 together. But you love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. You shall be the children of the highest, for he's kind unto the unthankful. That is, a man like Bill Gates says there's no God. Warren Buffett says there's no God, but God is kind unto them. Hallelujah. And to the evil. Be ye merciful as your heavenly Father. Your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. He's not talking about God now. He's talking about man. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the measure that you meet, shall it be measured unto you. He's talking about giving offering. Huh? No. He's talking about how men give back. He said, but that's not with your Father. He gives to those who have not given to him. Are you there? He blesses those who curse him. That is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's the God kind. Say, I'm like my Father. Say, I'm like my Father. Say, I'm like my Father. Come on, say, I'm like my Father. So, James 1, we close. You learning something? You learning something here? James 1. Let him ask in faith, verse 6. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'll check this in the second service. See,
When you see a man view God as good and evil, it comes out in his own character. You will be unstable. But when you know that your Father is always good, is always kind, is always forgiving, he doesn't curse, he only blesses. You know that that's your parentage. It will come out in your character. Say, I have just one character. Say, I'm not double-minded. I'm just like my Father. Say, I'm just like my Father. Say, I'm just like my Father. Matthew 7, finally we close. Say, I'm of the God kind. Say, I'm of the God kind. Say, I'm of the God kind. Matthew 7, verse 7. He says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. Was he talking to the church? Huh? Oh, okay. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks find. To him that knocks, the door shall be opened. For what man is there of you? Whom if his son asks bread, shall he give him a stone? Or if he has a fish, shall he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? So say, how much more? Shall your heavenly Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He will give to the unbeliever. Did you hear me? Because that is his nature. He is good. He is good. He is good. He is good. I said he is good. Get your hands up. Thank you. He's always good.